Today, seeking the bottom, choppy waters for markets again. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, not its post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. World markets on Friday ended another choppy week on an upbeat note as investors pushed aside growing concerns over the global trade war and bought back beaten down stocks, although few will be confident a definitive market bottom has been reached yet. US President Donald Trump's tariff agenda is very much in place and markets remain vulnerable to the next escalation in tensions. The lack of any new announcements from Trump on Friday was, for investors, perhaps a classic case of no news is good news. The US Senate did pass a stopgap spending bill, averting a partial government shutdown after Democrats backed down in a standoff driven by anger over President Donald Trump's campaign to slash the federal workforce. After days of heated debate, top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer broke the logjam on Thursday night, saying that he would vote to allow the bill to advance. Schumer said he did not like the bill, but believed that triggering a shutdown would be a worse outcome as Trump and his advisor Elon Musk were moving swiftly to slash spending. Another dose of good news came on Friday from Germany, where Chancellor-in-waiting Friedrich Merz secured support from the Greens to revise the country's debt brake and unleash the biggest fiscal package since 1990, proposals that should deliver a massive boost to German and European growth. But frankly, the broader horizon is filled with dark, ominous clouds, indicated by some key market moves and economic data on Friday. Safe haven demand propelled gold above $3,000 an ounce for the first time, while US consumer confidence fell to its lowest in nearly 2.5 years, and longer-term inflation expectations hit their highest since 1993. In a post on X, former US Treasury Secretary Larry Summer said, "I am convinced there is nearly a 50% chance of recession, and maybe even a far greater risk of recession, unless the current policy approach to tariff threats lurching is altered." Although markets clawed higher on Friday, the global MSCI index was down a further 1.77% across the week, while the European Stoxx 600 was down a further 1.22% over the five trading days. In the US, the S&P 500 confirmed a correction on Thursday, with Nasdaq closing down more than 10% from its February 19th record high, amid heightened uncertainty about President Donald Trump's tariff moves and his determination to rebound the US federal government. That said, US stocks did rebound on Friday as investors hunted for bargains at the end of a crazy week. The S&P 500 was up 2.13%, the Dow was up 1.65%, and the Nasdaq was up 2.61%. In fact, the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 logged their biggest one-day percentage gains since November the 6th, the day after the US presidential election. It was a broad rally, with recently battered tech-related mega caps enjoying a comeback. Every one of the so-called Magnificent Seven AI-related momentum stocks advanced, although six of them remained down on the year. Nvidia's 5.3% gain paced each of the other stocks as buyers emerged following the S&P 500's $5 trillion sell-off. Tesla rose 3.9% following a report on the electric vehicle maker's plans to make a lower-cost version of its best-selling Model Y in Shanghai, aimed to regain lost ground during a price war in its second-largest market. US equity investors appeared to look through the latest University of Michigan survey results, which showed that consumer sentiment fell more than expected in early March. Long-term inflation expectations rose to the highest since the early 1990s, and the outlook for the jobs market was the worst since the economic collapse of 2009. So consumer sentiment has plummeted to its most pessimistic level in nearly 2 years, and one-year inflation expectations spike to 4.9%. The just-released American Association of Individual Investors Sentiment Survey revealed a rise in pessimism among individual investors regarding the short-term outlook of stocks, while both optimism and neutral sentiment experienced declines. Bearish sentiment, reflecting expectations that stock prices will fall in the next 6 months, increased to 59.2%, making it an unusually high level, above the historical average of 31%. In fact, this was the first time bearish sentiment has surpassed 57% for 3 consecutive weeks of the survey's history. And JP Morgan became the latest Wall Street firm to cut its forecast for US growth this year, lowering its bets to 1.6% from 1.9%. It cited policy uncertainty, the impact of tariffs on US prices and consumer spending, and retaliatory tariffs. Even encouraging inflation data on Wednesday and Thursday, where the consumer price index rose 0.2% last month after accelerating 0.5% in January, was overshadowed this week by mounting uncertainties arising from Trump's frequently shifting policies, including tariff threats against the biggest US trading partners. The latest fund flows data from Bank of America saw the biggest equity outflow this year and the biggest inflow into treasuries since August. Around $3 trillion was wiped off global equity market cap this week, bringing total losses since the February 19th peak to around $7 trillion. Most of that is from the US, which still accounts for more than 70% of the world market cap. The volatility index was down 11.72% to 2177, and the US dollar futures index was down 0.13% to 103.74. The euro US dollar was at 1.0879, while the US dollar Japanese yen rose 0.56% to 148.64. The Federal Reserve faces a complex challenge as it navigates an economy in transition, with markets increasingly pricing in a more dovish policy stance. That's according to Deutsche Bank. While Deutsche Bank's baseline remains for steady rates this year, they acknowledge that downside risks could lead to rate cuts. Uncertainty may prove paralyzing, they said, highlighting federal job cuts and trade policy volatility. The brokerage is expecting 2 quarter-point rate cuts in June and September. It had earlier projected just 1 25 basis point cut in June. The 10-year bond was up again to 4.316%, while the 2-year was up to 4.021%. The Fed left its benchmark overnight interest rate at the range of 4.25 to 4.5%. at its January policy meeting, with Chair Jerome Powell saying that there was no rush to cut them again until inflation and jobs data made it more appropriate. The Federal Open Market Committee is scheduled to meet again on March the 18th and 19th. Oil prices rebounded by 1% on Friday to end the week nearly unchanged as investors weighed the diminishing prospects of a quick end to the Ukraine war that could bring back more Russian energy supplies to Western markets. Brent crude futures settled 1% higher at $70.65 a barrel after falling 1.5% in the previous session. And US West Texas Intermediate crude closed at $67.18 a barrel, up 1% after losing 1.7% on Thursday. Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Thursday that Moscow supported a US proposal for a ceasefire in Ukraine in principle, but sought a number of clarifications and conditions that appeared to rule out a quick end to the fighting. Then on Friday, Trump again urged Russia to agree to a ceasefire proposal, saying on his private social media platform that he would extract the US from what he had called a real mess with Russia. Peace, if it comes, could raise supply. In fact, the International Energy Agency warned on Thursday that global oil supply could exceed demand by around 600,000 barrels per day this year due to growth led by the US and weaker than expected global demand. The Trump administration has said a license allowing energy transactions with Russian financial institutions expired this week. And Chinese state firms are also curbing Russian oil imports on sanctions risk, sources said to Reuters. Gold futures reached a fresh record high, trading above $3,000 US an ounce in a quest for security in an uncertain world. See my recent show with Lynette Zhang. Now, as you know, Peter Schiff loves to make a statement about Bitcoin that sparks a debate, and the financial expert took to X to lay out a case that he says has been unfolding right under everybody's nose. Bitcoin has been in a bear market for years, but few have noticed because they have been measuring it the wrong way. Schiff did not talk about Bitcoin in terms of dollars, as most do. Instead, he looked at its value against gold, an asset that he's long championed as the ultimate form of money. Back in 2021, at Bitcoin's peak, one Bitcoin could buy 36.3 ounces of gold. Fast forward to today, and that same Bitcoin is worth 27.7 ounces of gold. That's a 24% decline. In other words, if gold is the benchmark, Bitcoin has lost ground for years, despite the volatility and price spikes that often dominate the headlines. But for Schiff, this is not just about Bitcoin's decline relative to gold. It's about gold's continued dominance. In his view, gold remains the apex predator of financial assets, the real store of value that will ultimately outlast digital competitors like Bitcoin. The argument is simple. Gold has been around for thousands of years. Bitcoin has been around for a little over a decade, and history has a way of proving which assets can truly stand the test of time. Now, this is, as I said to Lynette, a quest for the value anchor. Is it gold? Is it the US dollar? Is it something else? Depends on your point of view, I guess. Now, over in Europe, stocks were higher on Friday, with the FTSE at 1.05%, the DAX in Germany at 1.86%, and the CAC 40 in France at 1.13%. But in each case, they were actually lower across the week. The best performers in London were Melrose Industries, which rose 6.41%, BAE Systems, which was up 4.18% to all-time highs, and Rolls-Royce up 3.24% on the promise of greater defence spending. The worst performers for the session were Tesco, down 8.69%, and J. Sainsbury, down 7.7%, due to more weak economic growth data, as data released earlier on Friday showed that Britain's gross domestic product contracted unexpectedly by 0.1% in January. That's a sharp weakening from the 0.4% monthly growth seen at the end of last year, and below the monthly expansion of 0.1% expected. On Friday, European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde expressed her concern about the potential impacts of a full-scale global trade war in an interview with the BBC. She further highlighted that such a conflict would particularly harm the US and could stimulate Europe's drive towards unity. Earlier this week, the EU announced that it would retaliate President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminium, with countermeasures taking aim at clothing, alcohol, and industrial goods imported from the US. And on the economic front, German inflation unexpectedly fell in February, building a case for further policy easing from the European Central Bank. German inflation fell to 2.6% in February, a revision from the preliminary release that reported standard inflation harmonised to compare the other European countries had remained flat in February for the second month in a row at 2.8%. Chancellor-in-waiting Friedrich Merz has proposed a major increase in defence and infrastructure spending, a move that UBS analysts believe has the potential to improve the domestic and regional investment outlook. If approved by the Bundestag, a plan would free up around 500 billion euros for infrastructure investment and exempt defence spending over 1% of GDP from Germany's debt brake. According to UBS, these measures could lead to a cumulative 20% increase in government spending over the next decade, which could bolster consumer and business confidence even before funds are fully deployed. German bonds rose, with the 10-year Bund up another 0.68% to 2.8577%. That's up more than 21% year-to-date. In the corporate sector, BMW stock fell 0.8% after the German auto giant reported a sharp drop in net profit in 2024 after weak sales in China and Germany, as well as delivery holdups because of problems with a brake-dented performance. Most Asian stocks advanced on Friday as Chinese shares surged to over a two-month high on the central bank's vow to cut interest rates. However, gains in other regional markets were capped by concerns over escalating trade tensions. China's Shanghai Composite jumped 1.5% on Friday, reaching its highest level since December 31, 2024, and the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 index surged 2.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index climbed 1.9%. In response to mounting economic pressures, China's central bank, the People's Bank of China, announced plans on Thursday to implement yet more monetary tools aimed at stimulating growth. These measures include potential interest rate cuts and maintaining the stability of the yuan amid a challenging global economic environment. The central bank plans to utilize a seven-day reverse repo rate as its main policy instrument, reflecting a move towards market-based approaches to liquidity management. These developments come amid concerns over deflationary pressures, sluggish household demand, and ongoing trade tensions with the US. China's annual parliamentary meeting, the two sessions, concluded on March the 11th, with policymakers setting a 5% GDP growth target for 2024 while pledging pro-business reforms, increased fiscal stimulus, and support for the property sector. Optimism surrounding the world's second largest economy spilled over into other regional markets too, contributing to broad gains. Japan's Nikkei 225 advanced 0.4% due to a weaker yen, while the Topix rose 0.5%. Bank of Japan Governor Keizo Yudo on Wednesday took in his stride recent rises in bond yields, saying they were a natural reflection of market expectations of future interest rate hikes by the central bank. The remarks underscored the Bank of Japan's resolve to keep raising short-term interest rates and to allow markets to freely price in the chance of further hikes in borrowing costs. While long-term interest rates have been rising since last year, their move should primarily be determined by market forces, he said. Markets have been focusing on whether the Bank of Japan would issue a fresh warning after Japanese government bond yields rose to the highest levels in more than a decade this week. They're up 38% year-to-date. Yudo's remarks highlight the central bank's intention to phase out its presence from the bond market and convince investors that having ended its bond yield control policy last year, it will no longer step in to keep yields ultra-low. Japan's wholesale inflation, which is a leading indicator of consumer prices, went 4% higher year-on-year in February. Many big companies on Wednesday met union demands for substantial wage hikes for a third consecutive year. But the outlook for Japan's export-reliant economy has been clouded by, guess what, fears that higher US tariffs could hurt global growth, which may prod the Bank of Japan to go slow on raising rates. In fact, the Bank of Japan is widely expected to keep interest rates steady at 0.5% at its policy review later this month, though the board may discuss a hike as soon as in May, with an eye on domestic inflation and market volatility. The central bank raised its short-term policy rate to 0.5% from 0.25% in January and signaled readiness to keep hiking if wages continue to increase and supported consumption. South Korea's KOSPI was largely unchanged, while the Nifty 50 in India fell again on Friday. Now in Australia, the S&P ASX 200 closed at its third largest weekly loss this year, despite a rally in Australian iron ore and gold mining stocks. The index shed almost 2% of its value this week. It closed 9% off its February 14th peak of 8,555 points after hovering at correction levels for days. It rose 0.5% to 7,789.7, its first day in the green since Monday. But Morgan Stanley has recommended clients avoid Australian equities, citing their close correlation to Wall Street after a torrid start of the year for both markets and as they hover at or near correction territory. The major miners tracked a rise in Singapore iron ore futures, which climbed 1.3% to $103.40. BHP gained 1.1% to $38.65, and Fortescue rose 2.7% to $16.27. Gold miners rallied after the precious metal hit $3,000 an ounce, a fresh record, and posted its best week of gains this year. Newmont jumped 5.7% to $73.43, and Regis Resources added 5.6% to $3.56. Energy stocks weighed despite oil pairing earlier loss. Woodside Energy shed 1.4% to $20.38. A2 Milk posted the biggest gain, rallying 8.8% to $8.65 on news that China's officials are set to hold a press conference on Monday about measures to boost consumption. The company's baby formula sales in China have soared in the past year. Meijer advanced 1.4% to 75 cents after chairwoman Olivia Wirth overhauled the retail executive team. And Liontown Resources rallied 4.9% to 65 cents after it narrowed its losses in the half year to December. The lithium miner is gearing up to start underground production, which stopped in the fourth quarter. Mining services and explosive company Orica rose 4.6% to $7.49, despite being listed among dozens of creditors to the entity which owned Sanjeev Gupta's collapsed Whyalla Steelworks and nearby iron ore mines. Catalyst Metals rallied 5.2% to $4.64 after initiating production at its Plutonic East site in Western Australia, extracting the first ore on time and within budget. But banks continue to slide from stupid valuations, with CBA at $142.36 and Westpac down to $29.61. Goldman Sachs says the number of ASX companies discussing artificial intelligence on their earnings calls this time around jumped to a record high of 33%. But as UBS's Richard Shellbach notes, the actual results of their enthusiastic experimentation remains, well, underwhelming. For the moment, he says, AI seems to be a solution in search of a problem. Actually, Martin Conlon, head of Australian equities at Schroders, believes he's found the perfect use case. When it comes to productive uses of AI, the diversion of all investment banker emails to junk and calls to voicemail will be a good start, he says. Clearly, the ASX is marching to the beat of Wall Street's drum right now. The chaos unleashed by Donald Trump's determination to reduce the US budget deficit, even if it causes pain on financial markets and in the real economy, is shaking share markets around the world. And there are other parallels between Wall Street and the ASX too. Both markets hit record highs in early 2025, with valuations expensive relative to history, and the big winners confined to a relatively small pool of stocks. Banks in Australia, tech in the US. But the duration on markets coming soon after a reporting season that can only be described as, well, mediocre, have exposed important differences too. While plenty of investors in the US have also given in to the temptation of share price momentum in recent years with great success, it must be said, at least those investors were doing so on the strength of very strong profitability. We may now be fretting about the prospect of Nvidia, for example, but the company is producing extraordinary profits on rapidly growing sales. But in Australia, it's a different story. The February reporting season confirmed that aggregate earnings have been falling for 3 years. According to Macquarie, 26% of ASX 300 stocks beat consensus December half earnings per share estimates by more 5%, while 24% missed, and EPS estimates for the 2025 financial year were downgraded further in response to the profit season. A year ago, analysts had penciled in earnings growth of 4.8% for 2025, but now they expect EPS to fall 0.7% for the ASX 200. And further, Condon argues revenue trends look weak, with better operating margins the key to most results. And with the tailwinds from government spending potentially abating and productivity still desperately poor, Conlon says Australia's overall revenue pie needs to come from additional private sector credit or further government borrowing. Neither look very likely in the short term. All this leaves Australian investors in a tough spot. Not only are they paying big multiples for companies that aren't expected to deliver meaningful earnings growth for some time, they're doing it, Conlon says, at a time when revenue tailwinds are abating and external risks are rising. In a world of heightened geopolitical tensions, increasing protectionism and government distortion, we struggle to rationalise the tolerance of vast market value based on earnings in the distant future, he says. When Warren Buffett quipped some years ago that nobody buys a farm based on whether they think it's going to rain next year, it seems tough to argue. Wind the clock forward to 2025 and plenty of investors seem to be doing exactly that. Despite the sell-off, brokers at Morgan Stanley have downgraded their Australian equities allocation to underweight, joining a growing list of Wall Street firms turning bearish on the Australian share market, which this week entered the correction territory as 10% drops from its high. Morgan Stanley's warning comes just days after the Australian Financial Review reported that Bridgewater Associates, the world's biggest and one of the best performing hedge funds, has taken short positions against Australian stock and bond markets. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, also cut its exposure to the Australian share market because its investment team viewed the exchange as overvalued compared to other markets in Europe and Asia. Morgan Stanley said valuations among Australia's largest companies still remain stretched even after the recent sell-off, implying there could be further pain to come for investors. Finally, in crypto, Friday brought some hopium to the cryptocurrency market as the price of Bitcoin actively stormed above 84,000 US. With all the optimism soaring out of, well, nothing, it was recently revealed by Arkham Intelligence, which tracks the wallets of BlackRock, they just received $25 million worth of Bitcoin from Coinbase after days and even weeks of straight outflows from their IBIT and other Bitcoin ETFs, which eventually leads to selling from the issuers of those funds. This fresh injection feels like a relief, but crypto enthusiast sentiment, of course, is to the majority bullish, but still cautious. Most of the recent fear was definitely caused by the so-called tariff war, but at this point, more tariff-related news doesn't seem to be doing much. Actually, Bitcoin tested 80,000 US multiple times without breaking lower, which may say a lot, or may not. And more broadly, ahead, investors will be focused on February's labour force report next Thursday and policy meetings at the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan. China is to release industrial production and retail sales on Monday, and New Zealand's fourth quarter GDP is set for Thursday. BNZ has long expected some lift in the quarter after a sharp contraction through the second quarter and the third quarter, and they've penciled in a 0.2% quarterly rise. We will see. But all up, the stormy mood is likely to continue, and no, I do not yet think that we've found the bottom. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.